Welcome to HealthQuest Radio Show, dedicated to nutrition and your good health. HealthQuest Radio Show is brought to you by America's best nutritional companies. And now, HealthQuest Radio Show with your host, Steve Langford.
And welcome back to HealthQuest Radio Show. My guest this morning is Mark Kaler. We talked to Mark recently about the use of medicinal mushrooms, but now we wanted to get into one specific topic, and that's the topic of Syndrome X and SX fraction. You might not know what those are. We're going to explain to you this whole topic today about the need for SX fraction for Syndrome X. So it's my pleasure to introduce to you once again Mark Kaler. Mark, good morning and welcome back to HealthQuest Radio Show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back again.
Well, you're very welcome and thank you for taking the time. This is an interesting topic and I think that many of our listeners are going to be confused by the terms that we just used. Let's start with the concept of Syndrome X. What is Syndrome X?
Syndrome X is actually a little different than what we think of when we tend to think of diseases. We think of viral infections, bacterial infections, cancers, things that have single cause or a single element, at least according to allopathic medicine, to what's happening. If you have a viral infection and, you know, they believe it's a matter of having this virus in the system, the syndrome. And what syndromes are, they're a little different for everybody in the sense that there are a variety of signs and symptoms that are associated with it. And if you have a given number of those signs and symptoms, then in this case, the Syndrome X can be associated with it. For instance, the things we associate with Syndrome X are also called metabolic syndrome or insulin resistance syndrome, which adds to the confusion associated with it, can be things like high blood pressure, high blood sugar, abdominal obesity, lowering of HDL or so-called good cholesterol, raising of bad cholesterol, elevated triglycerides, fatty liver syndrome, elevated uric acid. There's a variety of different symptoms that are expressed here that can actually label it. And if you have three or four of these things, then it's a real good indication that you have this condition called Syndrome X.
So Syndrome X is looking at a grouping of symptoms. And it was interesting, you also said it's known as metabolic syndrome or insulin resistance. So people might have heard those terms as well. And we're basically talking about the same thing when we're talking about metabolic syndrome, insulin resistance, and Syndrome X.
Yeah, there's a debate in the medical community to what it's actually called, but they're all kind of descriptive of it. The insulin resistance syndrome is relevant because that's what happens. That's what causes all these problems. That's what causes these changes in our blood chemistry, the triglycerides and the LDL and HDL, are all caused by this insulin resistance. And simply put, what insulin resistance is, it is when the cells in the body no longer respond to insulin. And that's important because if the cells don't respond to insulin, that means they don't take the sugar up that's in our bloodstream. And if the sugar's not taken up by the cells and burned as fuel, then it stays in the circulation. And two things happen as a result of that. One is, as that sugar stays in and starts circulating through the body's pancreas looks at it and says, hey, blood sugar levels are too high, so what do I need to do? I need to secrete more insulin. So you get higher and higher levels of insulin being secreted, which causes the cells to actually stop responding to insulin even more and more, so you get this cycle kind of going around and round and round. Cells don't respond to insulin, the body produces more insulin, and it creates this problem. The sugar's not taken up by the body. The sugar has to go someplace. And where does it go? It goes into that area around our midsection, that abdominal obesity issue, that apple-shaped body that we associate with some body fat types. And it can go into storage in the liver, which contributes to a fatty liver syndrome condition. So the sugar's not used. It has to be stored someplace. It gets stored in the belly, as visceral fat around the organs, which is the most deadly of fats as far as the cardiovascular system goes. And it gets stored in the liver, which can create liver problems and liver imbalances.
Is this associated with what is commonly called type 2 diabetes, or is it the opposite of that?
Yeah, one of the other names for Syndrome X, or insulin resistance, is pre-diabetes syndrome. So some people actually feel like it's an earlier stage of what eventually develops into type 2 diabetes. But when you actually go out and look at the statistics, while that may be true for some people who are suffering from this insulin resistance will actually go on to develop type 2 diabetes. A lot of people will never develop that type 2 diabetes. They'll stay in that insulin resistance condition, which still is a very important concern because there are all sorts of cardiovascular risks that are associated with this.
Do we know what causes this to begin to occur?
There are a variety of things that cause it. The number one is, and it's a real simple one, is we're eating refined carbohydrates and sugars on a daily basis, you know, in a very chronic fashion, so to speak, all the time. And what happens is every time you eat that Snickers bar or drink that soda with sugar in it, or even have that white flour, pasta, or bread, is it causes a dramatic spike in your blood sugar levels. If your blood sugar levels go up, your body has to secrete insulin to deal with that blood sugar, so it secretes insulin. And eventually, because we're eating these refined carbohydrates, sometimes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and for our snacks, is the cells basically get tired of it. They say, enough, I'm being bombarded by the insulin, we stop responding to it. And one of the examples I always use for people, and you can do it while you're listening to the show, is just go to the back of your hand and just start tapping it with one finger from your other hand. It's not real hard, just keep tapping it over and over. And what you'll find is eventually that either one of two things will happen. You'll stop feeling that tapping, or you'll find that you're actually unconsciously starting to hit your hand harder and harder in order to stimulate that response. And that's the same kind of thing that happens on this cellular level. The cells stop responding to insulin because they're being bombarded by it, and then we end up with these chronic inflated blood sugar levels, which create all these problems, cardiovascular problems. And one thing people may not know is that sugar is a very reactive substance and very prone to contributing to the creation of free radicals, which can lead to damage throughout the body, can lead to the aging process, can damage the heart, damage the cardiovascular system. So you have all these interactions that result in coming out of this insulin resistance.
Is it fair then to suggest that the primary factor here is the average American diet?
The average American diet and the fact that we're not exercising. One of the real benefits, and I'm a huge fan of exercise. Exercise is one of the most important things I think people can do to their lives, to their health, to their healing process. A muscle that is trained, that is physically fit, so to speak, actually does not need insulin to respond to blood sugar. So you can have that blood sugar go into our body as we digest it and break it down, and your muscles will start grabbing that sugar up even without the insulin to key it in. Exercise has a very, very important element. You know, it not only burns that sugar, but it'll burn that sugar without relying on the presence of insulin to do that. But there are a variety of other things that contribute to the process. The fact that we have fatty acid imbalances in our body, in particular, we don't have enough omega-3, we have way too much omega-6, all the hydrogenated oils and trans fats that we're eating in our diet, the lack of magnesium and lack of chromium in our body. So there are a variety of nutritional things that all can go to contribute to this process as well.
If somebody is starting to exhibit these particular symptoms, would you relist those symptoms that describe this so that we can get that picture once again?
There are a variety of symptoms. The more you have of these symptoms, the more likely it is that you will have Syndromex, and probably the more likely you would develop actually type 2 diabetes. And they are high fasting blood sugar levels, high blood pressure, central obesity, meaning obesity around the waist, lower HDL cholesterol, and HDL cholesterol is the good cholesterol. It's the cholesterol that goes in and cleans out the so-called bad cholesterol, elevated triglycerides, elevated uric acid, fatty liver, polycystic ovary syndrome could be another condition associated with that. All these things, you don't necessarily need to go out and get all these tests. There are a couple of real simple ways to tell if you have it. One is, first, look at your waist. If your belly is significantly larger than your hips, that's a real good indicator that you have some degree of insulin resistance either developing or already developed in the body, and possibly these cardiovascular imbalances. Another good indicator is if you sit down and have a meal, even if it's the healthiest meal in the world, you start off with a nice salad, you have whole grains, all this really wonderful, healthy, natural food. If after that meal you start thinking, that was a real good meal, but I need a little something sweet right now, I need a bite or two of a cookie or something, the meal would be perfect if I just had a little bit of sweet. That's also a real good indication that the body is developing this insulin resistance, is that, you know, that craving of sweets after a meal. Those are two really good kind of self-diagnostic tools to tell if you're developing this insulin resistance.
The solutions in this case would be what? If somebody is feeling that exactly me, what should they do?
Well, the number one thing is to cut out or at least cut back the refined carbohydrates and sugars. Ideally, I think they should be excluded from the diet in an ideal situation, certainly to promote healing in this situation. The less you have of them, the better. The higher the fiber in the diet, the slower that introduction of blood sugar in the body is going to be, meaning the slower the raising of insulin levels. In time, the body can heal itself. Incorporate a regular exercise program. And by exercise, I mean two things. We tend to think of exercise primarily as aerobic exercise, meaning something that kind of pumps the heart, gets the heart going for long periods of time. Bike riding, running, walking, treadmills, but it's very important in insulin resistance to do some sort of resistance training, something where you are lifting and moving a weight, trying to train your muscle cells to respond to blood sugar and use it without requiring that insulin. And it's very important that the body get that resistance exercise in.
Well, let's move into then, what are the types of nutrients that can play a role? You mentioned chromium, you mentioned magnesium. What are those nutrients?
Three minerals that are closely associated or having low levels of these can contribute to the process, and they would be magnesium, chromium, and zinc. These are all in involved in various relations to the body's production and use of insulin. So it's very important to have those things in the proper balance, making sure you're getting plenty of omega-3 fatty acids. And again, I mentioned our fatty acid imbalance is way out of whack. We should be ideally eating about a 4-to-1 omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids. And I think most Americans are anywhere from like a 17-to-1 to like 27-to-1 ratio. So we need to cut back those vegetable oils and increase the omega-3 oils in our diet, fish oil being the leading benefit for that. One of the things that I alluded to in our last show when we talked about mushrooms is there's a recently discovered component from the maitake mushroom, which is called SX fraction. It was named that after Cinemex because it was so beneficial to that. And that's one of the things that I would definitely add into people's mix if they're showing any of these signs that the insulin resistance may be developing in the body.
Well, that's exactly why we wanted to have you back, was because you have researched this topic of the Cinemex and the SX fraction. Let's talk about that SX fraction. What is it?
SX fraction is a specific component of the maitake mushroom, a proteoglycan. It's a specific molecule in the maitake mushroom. There's an interesting story about how this is actually discovered, in the sense that maitake has had a product out there for years, which has been very useful as an adjunct therapy in chronic immune disorders and in cancer treatments in particular. And what was happening is over time, more and more people were calling the company saying that, hey, I'm taking your maitake for my cancer program, but I'm also diabetic, I've been able to cut my insulin. And it happened for years, and eventually the company said, well, you know, maybe there's something to this that we just don't know. And they went out and did some studies at Georgetown University initially, and then later on New York Medical College and some other clinical trials, where they actually took the maitake mushroom and did these cardiovascular measures on it. Did it lower blood pressure? Did it lower triglycerides? Did it help with obesity, particularly abdominal obesity? And they found out that it did. And then that led to further research of, and well, what in this mushroom is actually doing that? And that's where they discovered this fraction, which they call SX fraction, which is very effective at lowering both blood sugar and insulin levels. And those are two real key things, because interesting about the insulin resistance condition is it's high insulin and high blood sugar. And usually you would think those are contradictory, because insulin normally lowers blood sugar. But what happens is, as we mentioned, is because there's this insulin resistance, you end up with both high blood sugar and high insulin, kind of a double-edged sword going at the body.
Well, how does somebody use this SX fraction? How do they take it? How long do they take it in order to be able to evaluate whether it is helping them? How fast do they get results?
First question is how to use it. All the clinical studies that have been done using 3 tablets of the SX product 3 times a day, and they do that for a period of approximately 2 months, and then they gradually decrease it. And the reason I think you need to do this is because that insulin resistance is built up, and there's a certain kind of inertia you need to overcome to get the body back to responding to it. That happens on the cellular level, is you kind of really need to give that cell, or the cells in your body, that push to start responding to insulin more properly. And that's why you use the higher doses. And I have found personally in my own practice that it works best if you take it about a half hour before meals. And what you're doing there is you're kind of priming the cells for the meal to be digested and broken down, the sugars to be taken up and from the digestive system into the bloodstream. So your body is now prepared for these carbohydrates and sugars.
Does the SX fraction affect the cell itself and make it more insulin receptive? Is that how it works?
That's the suggestion in the research. And the way you actually measure that is you look for a couple of things. You look for both blood sugar and insulin being lowered upon taking of this remedy. And it's important that it lower both. And what's interesting is that a lot of the natural remedies that are out there that are used to lower blood sugar by raising insulin levels. And in this case, that's the exact opposite of what you want to be doing. So be real careful with what kind of remedies you're using to bring down your blood sugar levels, because you may actually be contributing to the problem, you know, in the long term.
When you talk about remedies, are you talking about some of the prescription medications?
Some prescription medications, but even some of the natural remedies out there may actually lower blood sugar levels by raising insulin levels.
And that puts a burden on the pancreas then, I
suppose. Burden on the pancreas, and it contributes to that insulin resistance. So over time, it contributes to this problem by increasing insulin resistance, by burdening the pancreas, which can, again, contribute in the long run, possibly to type 2 diabetes. And that's what's so special about this XX product, is that it lowers both blood sugar and insulin. And the fact that it's overcoming the insulin resistance is seen in the cardiovascular measurements that you would expect with overcoming insulin resistance. And that is, it lowers blood pressure, it lowers triglycerides, it raises HDL, good cholesterol, it lowers LDL cholesterol, it helps with abdominal obesity. So the fact that it does the blood sugar and insulin, and the fact that it has these cardiovascular benefits, all are really good indicators that it's actually overcoming this insulin resistance problem.
You suggested 3 tablets 3 times a day for 2 months initially?
That's the starting avoiding those, then after 2 months it can probably decrease. And this kind of gets to the question about how long are you going to have to use it. Well, that depends on lots of things. It depends on, you know, what are stress levels in your life. Are you starting to exercise? Are you doing some weight resistance? Have you corrected the mineral imbalance? Are you still eating the refined carbohydrates? Because I really like people to get away from the idea that, here, I can take this remedy so they can eat more junk, or that I don't have to take care of myself. So I'm going to take all these pills so I can continue to have my soda and my Snickers bars and all those types of things. It has to be part of a complete program. That includes the lifestyle changes. So reducing your stress levels, which can play into this, starting an exercise program, eating a good balanced diet so you're getting plenty of magnesium and chromium and zinc, or even supplementing those nutrients, taking an omega-3 fish oil or cod liver oil product, reducing that intake of refined sugars and carbohydrates. All these things really need to be part of the program. And the more of the program you do, the more profound benefits and effects you'll have by using the SX or whatever natural remedies you may use. So the length of time is going to depend upon how much you were doing and what you were doing, your lifestyle, and the choices you were making.
So you start to look at these markers over time, and you should see a lowering of those numbers. Is 2 months a reasonable time to, say, recheck or retest, or should somebody, say, go 3 months or 6 months? What would be good intervals?
It depends on the marker you're talking about. When you start talking about things like blood sugar, you can start seeing responses, and we've seen this with our type 2 diabetes people that have used it. Anywhere from 4 days to 14 days, they can start seeing significant changes in blood sugar levels. So that's one of the nice things about blood sugar, particularly in diabetics, is they're taking their blood sugar 1, 2, 3, 4 times a day, and they can have this continual feedback of, is it working, is it not working? Other measurements, such as some of the cardiovascular benefits, may take a month, may take 3 months. Again, it depends on how consistent you are taking the supplement. What, again, lifestyle choices and things that you're continuing or not continuing with. So it really depends on those other variables. But some measures certainly in a few days, and some may take a few weeks.
Do we know whether this has value to type 1 diabetics?
We have not done clinical trials with it at this point in time. What we are finding, though, just in feedback from people, is that diabetics at least have reported to us that they've been able to significantly cut their insulin dose by using this on a regular basis. And again, this makes sense because if you can make the cells more responsive to insulin, then you don't need to dose the body with higher levels of insulin. You can start cutting those doses back because the cells are now much more responsive to it.
And those people are the ones that you mentioned that are going to be checking their blood sugar frequently in order to manage that. They can make those adjustments. Certainly they want to apprise their doctors if they're making any changes like this, so he can be aware and make adjustments in the treatment protocols as well. But all of these groups should try this product and see what happens when they take it.
It's useful for anybody. Probably half or two-thirds of all cardiovascular disease is related either directly or indirectly to this insulin resistance developing in the body. So I think everybody with blood sugar concerns, insulin concerns, cardiovascular concerns, obesity concerns, the vast majority of those people would benefit from taking the SX product. One of the things that's interesting about it is one thing you always hear about natural remedies is that they're slower to work, they're slower to have their benefits, they're not as powerful as drugs, they take a longer period of time. They actually did some comparing the SX product to a leading pharmaceutical drug, and they found out that as far as these cardiovascular measures, the blood pressure and the cholesterol and their glycerides and blood sugar and insulin levels, that it actually worked more effectively, meaning it worked more quickly than the pharmaceutical drug did and worked better over the long run. So here we have a natural remedy which is extraordinarily safe, and we're finding out that it may be actually even more effective than the pharmaceutical drug without the possible side effects.
Well, that's exactly what our listeners are looking for, and you've done a great job of covering this topic for us. I'd like to give you the last word. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you'd like to make sure that our listeners hear?
We need to wake up as a culture to the problems that are associated with obesity and things, and particularly this insulin resistance. Even doing a number of medical conferences that I do in medical conventions, is you still find doctors will have patients coming in, and they'll still treat the symptoms. They'll still treat just cholesterol levels, or they'll still treat blood pressure, and not get at the fundamental underlying cause at it. And I think this is a real sign that we need to get at the root cause, what's causing the problem, correct that problem, and deal with the symptoms on a more fundamentally balancing way. The SX product, being a very safe product, does that in a number of ways. It gets back to correcting the problem as far as part of a larger overall holistic program, rather than always dealing with these symptomatic approaches and trying to alleviate just the symptoms.
Good advice for our listeners. I know they appreciate it. I certainly do. Mark Kaler, I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to be our guest today for the book that you've written, Syndrome X and SX Fraction. I recommend it to people who are dealing with these issues. And thank you so much for taking the time to be our guest today.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on again.
You're very welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today on HealthQuest Radio Show.